morning, please. Genesis chapter number 7. Find your place there in the Word of God, and we'll begin to read in just a moment. And we'll try to preach as the Lord directs us today. Genesis chapter number 7. And I'm glad that heaven is really real. And it is a reality. I have that Pandora app on my phone. How many of y'all got Pandora on your phone? The Pandora app. I don't like listening to the radio because there ain't nothing good to listen to on the radio. And so I listen to Pandora app. And to show you how Pandora has a sense of humor, I just got a notification that says, "Happy Sunday. Check out the Joyce Meyer Radio Podcast." I don't think I'll be subscribing to that trash. Amen. That went off while they were singing. I'm like, really? Joyce Myers. Oh, man. Somebody said, "What's wrong with Joyce Myers?" Well, the Bible said a woman can't preach, but she's the manliest looking woman I ever seen. She looks like the Joker. She looks just like the Joker, I'm telling you, amen. And so I'm glad I'm in a church where Joyce Myers would not be welcomed, amen. Would not be welcome to preach. She can sit there and get right with God, but she couldn't come in here and preach, amen. And I'm just glad I'm saved on my way to heaven. And thank the Lord. You can blame Pandora for that little rant right there. Genesis chapter 7, I want to read some very familiar verses of Scripture. And if you're like the average Christian, you've probably read these chapters the last 2 weeks because it's January and you're supposed to be in Genesis in January. Usually how it goes. But something the Lord put on our heart on Friday that I believe the Lord have us preach today. Genesis chapter number 7. And let's begin reading, please, in verse number 15. The Bible says, "And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they went in, and went in male and female of all flesh, as God commanded him, and the Lord shut him in." You see, when God closed the door, can't no man open it. Noah didn't shut the door. Noah's wife didn't shut the door. Shem, Ham, and Japheth, nor their wives shut the door. The antelope, the ox, the elephant, the deer, all them other animals, they didn't shut the door. God shut the door. Look at verse number 17. "And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth." Let's pray a moment. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your kindnesses in our lives. Father, I pray for the next few moments, Lord, you touch us, you use us for your glory, I pray. May Christ be magnified above all. We'll love you and thank you for all you do. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. And all the Lord's people said, amen. Thank you for praying with us and for us. Now, we understand when we come to Genesis chapter number 6, 7, and 8, and chapter 9, we are dealing with a man by the name of Noah. Noah in the Bible is a very popular man. All of us growing up in Sunday school know about Noah and Noah's ark. And we know about the worldwide flood that God sent upon the earth because of their sin. And the introduction this morning probably longer than the message, but there's a little phrase in verse number 17 that I want to look at and lift out and give us a thought today to try to help our hearts. But by way of introduction, let me get you to where I want to preach this morning. We notice that in Noah's day, there was a sin problem. The Bible talks about in Genesis chapter number 6 and verses 5 and 6 that God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. There was an awful sin problem in the days of Noah. May I remind you, we are not living in the days of Noah per se, because in Luke chapter 17, when it talks about as it was in the days of Noah, that is talking about before Jesus comes again in Revelation 19 on the white horse. So I said, we're living in the days of Noah. Oh, it ain't got that bad yet. It's going to get, if you think it's bad right now, it's going to get a whole lot worse on this earth before Jesus comes again. But I'm glad before one drop of the rain of the judgment of God falls upon this earth, I'm glad that God's people will be headed out. Amen. There's a great typology there in Genesis 5 and 6. You see, Enoch, he pictures the church. The Bible said that Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. That looks like a rapture to me. And then in Genesis 6 is when the judgment of God begins to fall. And there's a little Jewish family that goes through that torment and comes out on the other side. Pictures
is that Jewish remnant there in the tribulation period. But I'm so glad long before the trouble ever came that Enoch got taken out. And honey, long before the tribulation period ever starts, the church of the living God, we will be called out and raptured out. Yes, there is a sin problem. Their sin was great. Their sin was, to be honest with you, it was gross. They had defiled a marriage in that generation. We're not far from that now. I got so aggravated the other night watching football. I was watching TV and on ESPN. And how many have seen the AT&T commercial where they got two dads? And they got a woman being the babysitter and the woman's watching the two dads' children. Sick, man. Sick. We're not far from Noah's day, but we're not quite there yet. They were defiling marriage, and they were defiling the institution of the home. They were drinking, and they were living their life against the will of God. A sin problem in this generation. But then secondly, a sentence was pronounced on this generation. Here's what God said, Genesis chapter 6, verse 7. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing. There's a lot of creeping things on this earth, I'll say that. And the fowl, there's a lot of creeps in this world, amen. And the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Because of man's sin, God pronounced judgment on Noah's world. And can I say this? God still will judge man for his sin. You've never got away with your sin, and I do not get away with my sin. God always takes care of sin. And so a sentence was pronounced that God was going to destroy the world through a worldwide flood. And I do believe in a worldwide flood. A sin problem. A sentence pronounced. But I love this in Genesis chapter number 6 and verse number 8. There is a special privilege. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And aren't you glad in this day and age when sin is abounding and the judgment of God is getting ready to fall on this nation, that aren't you glad that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound? And there's a group of people on Dunn's Mountain Church Road this morning that are saved by the grace of God, and they have found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It wasn't anything Noah did, it wasn't anything Noah earned, it was nothing more than God's amazing grace. And aren't you glad that I've been a recipient and you have been a recipient of God's grace today? There was a sin problem and a sentence pronounced, a special privilege. Watch this. Salvation was provided. God told Noah, I'm going to flood the earth. He said, but you know what? I'm going to make a way of escape for you. I'm going to make a way out. And so I want you to build this ark. I've dealt with this before, but this ark is a wonderful type and picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was made of gopher wood. In other words, in order for that boat to be built, a tree had to be cut down somewhere. Are you getting a hold? And in order for me to escape the judgment of God, there was a tree somewhere that had to be cut down and raised up. And the Son of God, Jesus said, If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. They said that gopher wood was also an incorruptible wood. You could not corrupt it. Can I say this? Our Savior is pure from sin. There was no guile found in His mouth, Peter said in 1 Peter 2:22. He was a perfect Savior. He did not sin. The gopher wood. Then, I love this. They had rooms in that ark. In fact, I was reading the size of that ark was 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Each deck contained 33,750 square feet of floor space, the equivalent to 21 basketball courts. It is estimated that 35,000 known species could fit into 150 boxcars. The ark was the size of 530 boxcars. You get a hold of that? 150 different species could fit in there, 35,000 different species could fit in 150 boxcars, but there were 530. In other words, there was room for more. And can I say this? When it comes to God's salvation, though millions have come, there's still room for more. There's room at the cross for you. The Bible said He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I love this about that ark. It only had one door, and it wasn't in the top. And it wasn't at the ends. It was in the side. And you remember that night, that day at Calvary, when that soldier come by our Savior and was going to break his legs, but Jesus had already given up the ghost. They did not murder the Lord Jesus. He gave up the ghost. And that soldier, out of anger and out of animosity, took that spear and thrust it in the side of the Savior. And the Bible said, out of his side flowed blood and water. And that day when that side, you remember old Adam? God put him to sleep and opened up his side and got a bride out of his side, got a rib. And can I say this? At Calvary, Jesus' side was open up, and forthwith came a bride. That is you and I today. We have access. There's only one door. There's not many ways to heaven. There's only one way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. So I said, preacher, going to heaven is a lot like going to Charlotte. You can get on 77 to go to Charlotte. You can get on 85 to go to Charlotte. You can get on 74 and get to Charlotte. But honey, there's only one problem. When I die, I'm not going to Charlotte. Somebody say amen right there. When I die, I'm going to heaven. And there's only one way. And Jesus said, I am the door. Verily, verily, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and go in and out and find pasture. This ark is a wonderful picture of Christ. And then it had a window that was up at the top. And that was to let the light come in. And you know why he didn't put the windows on the side? He didn't want them looking around. You know why he didn't put the window up front? He didn't want them looking ahead. You know why he didn't put the window behind them? He didn't want them looking back. You know why he didn't put the window in the floor? He didn't want them looking down. But honey, he put the window in the top. You know why? He wanted them to be looking up. Can I say this? David said it like this in Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Honey, don't be looking around. You'll get distracted. Don't be looking ahead. You'll get discouraged. Don't be looking back. You'll get depressed. Don't be looking down. You'll get a downward look in your life. But honey, if you look up, if you look to Jesus, you'll get delivered in your life. So a sin problem, a sentence pronounced, a special privilege, a salvation provided. And all while this is going on, a storm was produced. The storm of all storms. Now I understand that the reason that Noah is laboring here, I'm getting where I want to preach now. I understand the reason that Noah is laboring here is because a storm is coming. I understand that. Would you allow me to use this typology? Here's Noah, he's saved. And he is doing what God told him to do. He is laboring, he's listening to the word of God, he's living in the will of God, and he's laboring on the work of God. And all of a sudden, storm clouds rise. It gets dark. In fact, there had never been a storm like this storm, because up until this time it did not rain. The dew came up from the ground and watered the plant life of the earth. And Noah didn't, I mean, think about this, how crazy people must have thought Noah was. Noah, what are you doing? Building an ark. What's an ark? Well, it's a boat. What's a boat? Well, it floats on water. Well, Noah, there ain't no water big enough. There ain't no body of water big enough to float that thing. Well, it's going to rain. It's going to what? It's going to rain. What's rain? What's water falling from the sky? Water falling. Noah, you've lost it, man. That was the mentality he had to deal with. So here's Noah. He don't even understand it all. I love this now. Before the first raindrop ever fell, Noah was in the ark. Now watch this. That ark is a picture of Christ. Noah is in Christ, if you would. We are in Christ. And can I say this? Aren't you glad when the storms come, we're in Christ? This is where I want to get to, though. And this is my thought. And I'll be honest with you. My mind's kind of scattered this morning. My heart's heavy this morning, just to be honest with you, for our friend. But this is my thought. This is where I want to give you. There is a stirring promotion that I see in this. We read verse number 17 of Genesis chapter 7. The Bible said, and the flood was 40 days upon the earth. And the waters increased, watch this now, and bare up the ark. And it was lift up above the earth. Now let's just put our thinking caps on for a second. That ark, when he built it, it's on dry ground. It's connected to the world. Noah, all his life, has walked on the world, walked on the earth, and he has been connected to the ground. But now God said, all right, Noah, get in the ark. Actually, he didn't say it. He said, come in the ark, because God was already in there. So they got in the ark. God shut the door. And when the waters began to increase, you know what happened to that boat? It began to rise. And the Bible said that it was lift up above the earth. So that ark, that family, that man who's living for God, and the storm comes, you know what it done? It got him above the world. That storm, that situation, that trouble, that awful situation, his life, got him disconnected from the world. I want to preach on this thought this morning. Getting above this old world. You ever get tired of this world? If you don't get tired of it, go to Walmart. Go to the mall. And you see all the wickedness and you see all the debauchery all around. And you just get tired of it. And you get tired. And sometimes you just want to get above it all. Can I say this? God has a way of getting you above the world. You know what it is? It's storms. According to this, Noah didn't get above the world till the rain began to fall. Noah didn't get above the world, Brother Kenny, until it started to pile up. Boy, you ever had just things pile up? If it ain't one thing, it's another. And it would, when it began to pile up is when Noah finally got above all that junk he was living in. You see, think about this now. The Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20, which were sometimes disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein a few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. Now, this verse is not saying that Noah got saved by water. The Church of Christ like to take that, and every time they see water, they want to put a baptistry. That's not what it's talking about. In fact, you study out the word saved. The word saved here means to be preserved or protected. The word saved in Romans 10:13, where it says, for whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved, means to be delivered. So this is protection. So here's my point, and put your thinking caps on with me. Here's what I'm seeing. If Noah had stayed connected to the earth, he'd have been destroyed. But that water that would have been his destruction was what detached him from this world. Now, you know what water is a picture of in your Bible? It's a picture of two things. Running water is a picture of the Holy Spirit. And still water is a picture of the Word of God. So here's my thought this morning. I need to get above this world. I need to live above the fray. I need to get above all the wickedness and all the sin. So how's God going to let me do that? Well, I'm in Christ. So he's going to let the storms come, but he's going to let the Spirit of God and the Word of God elevate me higher than I've ever been before. In fact, Noah had never been that high before. Think about this. When the waters increased, Brother Charles, Noah was closer to heaven in that storm than he'd ever been in his life. And can I say this, when the storms come in our life, we are more closer to God then than we've ever been in our life. Storms are going to come. Difficulties are going to come. Hard times are going to come. But God can turn it around and use it for His glory. The purpose of the storm in your life is not designed to destroy you. Rather, it's designed to detach you. We are so connected to this world. I mean, I watch some of the rapture. You're going to be trying to grab your dogs and your cats and your cars and your houses and all this stuff. You're going to be trying to take all of it with you. You ain't taking a narrow one of it with you. We're so attached to this world and we love the things of this world, but sometimes God has to let some storms come in our life to remind us there's more to it than material things. There's more to it than temporal things. There's more to this life than what we can buy. And God said, let's get you above all that and let's get you closer to heaven. Is this making sense? You see, this storm looked as though it would have been Noah's end. But in reality, it was really Noah's beginning. It looked like it would have been Noah's death. But really, it became Noah's life. It looked as though it would have been Noah's worst trial, but it turned out it was Noah's greatest triumph. Can I suggest that storm you're going through may look like it's your greatest trial, but it could be your greatest triumph, where God is going to take you above it all and get you closer to Him. God wants to detach you from this world. Had Noah not gotten the ark and not allowed the waters to elevate him, three things would have happened. Number one, he would have been drugged down. That water gets to rising. You know what's going to happen? If he doesn't detach himself from this world, he's going to get drugged down and be dragging the bottom all the time. You know why I believe so many people in our churches are always dragging bottom? Because they're resisting what God's trying to do in their life. God's trying to detach them from this world. God's trying to get them to take their life to another level. But they're holding on to everything. And they're kicking and screaming like a little kid at the supermarket. No, I don't want to go. And they're dragging bottom. You fellas that have a boat, you get ready to go out on the lake or wherever. If you don't raise your anchor, what's going to happen? It's going to drag the bottom the whole time. And there's a lot of people, Christ is our anchor, I understand that. But there's sometimes He wants to pull the anchors up. And don't be dragged and say, God, I don't want to go. I don't want to do this. I don't want to go that far. Come here, Cade. Come here, Cade, real quick. I want you to take me over there. I'm going to take my other arm and drag. Here's how we do it. God, it says, all right, I'm going to let a storm come into your life. Here's what we do. No, I don't want to do that. I know you're God and everything, but I don't want to do that. Boy's pretty strong for a little string bang. What I'm saying is, and go, all right, you can quit. Do I get workman's comp if he pulls my shoulder out of joint or something? I mean, this is during my work time, all right? What I'm saying is, don't be dragging and kicking and screaming against God when He's trying to do something. And Noah says, well, God, I don't want to get in the ark. God said, all right, come in the ark. And like Daxton, I don't want to. All right, you don't have to, but you fixing to be dragging bottom. I see people walk into church all the time, they're dragging. I'm not talking about trials and stuff. I know trials are difficult, and I know they weigh our hearts, and I know we get heavy. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking we're constantly kicking and screaming against what God's doing. And God said, I'm trying to get you above that. I'm trying to get you above. And I remember I went fishing with the one time, it took me twice in 1 week. Brother Glenn and Brother Austin took me fishing. And we had a good time. But it was so funny because Austin was sitting in front of the boat and Glenn's a driving. And you know, what lake was we at? High Rock. And there'd be trees and stuff. And Glenn's a driving away. And Brother Glenn's hadn't worked for DOT for all this snow and ice that we have. He hates it just as much as I do. And I'd watch Austin. He'd do this. There's a stump. Get out of the way. You don't want to hit that. He'd do that. Turn right. Now, one time he'd done like that. And that was Glenn done that and you was driving. Went like that. I said, what are we supposed to do? Go airborne? You know what he's doing? He didn't want us to hit something because if we hit something, it might be attached to the bottom and we'll drag. And God's trying to direct you and lead you because He sees things in your path. It's going to drag you down and be a hindrance to you. He would have been dragged down. Number two, he would have been delayed to his destination. God's got a place He wants that ark to get to. But Noah was kicking and screaming and said, God, I don't want to. I don't want to go over there. Then he's not going to get where he's supposed to be at the right time. Timing is everything with God. You got to have that time. And I was preaching about it. I wasn't preaching. I was telling the men about it the other night in prayer room. You know, a locust don't fly. Locusts can't fly. They are a fixed wing creature. They don't flap their wings. They're fixed wing. I said, well, I see a locust fly. I've seen locusts fly before. You ain't never seen them fly. You seen them glide. Because God designed a locust. He can jump 20 times His height. It's in his legs. And he also has very powerful ears. You know what that locust has to do if he wants to get somewhere? He's got to stay low on his knees and listen for the wind. And when he hears the wind coming, that's when he jumps. And the wind will take him where he wants to go. And can I say this? We better stay low on our knees and our hands raised, listen to the wind, waiting for God to take us where He wants to. The Bible said, trust the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding, and in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. So it's my job to stay low and keep my arms raised and be listening for the wind. Amen. If Noah had not listened to God and not allowed the storm to work in his life, he would have been delayed from his destination. He would have been drugged down. But number three, he would have been destroyed in the destruction. If he resisted God, he'd have been killed with the rest of them. See, if Noah don't get in that ark, he's going to die just like the rest of them. Noah don't get in that ark, his family's going to die like the rest of them. You ever wonder what lost people do when tragedy hits their family? They don't have a preacher to call. They don't have a church to call and say, pray. They don't have that. You really want to be attached to this world when the storms come? You really want to be caught up in this world when the storms of life and the difficulties come? I don't want to be. I want to be saying, God, wherever you want to take me, whatever you want to do, I just don't want to. You know, the Bible talks about we sorrow not even those that have no hope. And I've heard people go to a funeral and say, now don't be crying. The Bible said we're not to sorrow. Well, that's not what the Bible says. We're to sorrow not even as those that have no hope. There's sorrow when we lose a loved one, but we don't sorrow like the lost people do. Because we know if they're saved by the grace of God and we're saved, we'll see them again. And so we ought to handle our trouble differently than what the world does. You know what happens when the world gets sick? Cancer comes, they go get drunk. They go get drugs. They go party. They go wreck their life. You know what the people that are saved do? We go to the Bible. We go to church. We go to an altar. We call a friend. We call a preacher. We'll call a neighbor and say, would you pray with me? Would you pray for me? And but most of all, we go to God. We have somebody to go to. I'll give you this and I'm done. Getting in that ark was important for Noah to get where he needed to be. Remember I told you those waters picture the Spirit of God and the Word of God? In concluding this morning, conclusion, those waters done three things for Noah. Number one, they piloted him. There's not a steering wheel on that ark. There's not a rudder on that ark. You know how that ark got from point A to point B? The water carried it. I wish I had somebody. That water picture the Spirit of God and the Word of God. You know how we're going to get from point A to point B when the storms are raging and we don't even know which way to go? I tell you, the Holy Spirit of God lives on the inside of us and we have the Word of God that leads us and guides us and directs us in our life. I cannot find the way alone. I don't know how to get where God wants to take me. But honey, I've got a GPS system, a God's positioning system built in my heart. And I've got the Word of God that'll lead me and that'll guide me through this life. And I'll just say, God, would you lead me? He'll take care of it. The waters piloted him. But then number two, the waters preserved him. The Bible said that the waters increased and they bear up the ark. That bear up gives the idea of like a mother picking up a child. Bear up the ark. So see, what Noah thought was his greatest destruction, that water was a cradle in that ark. And it was a carry in that ark. And it was preserved in that ark. And it was a keeping it safe till they got to the other side. And aren't you glad that we have the Holy Spirit of God and we have the Word of God that's a holding us and cradling us, and it's going to keep us till we get to the other side. The waters piloted him. The waters preserved him. You see, on the outside there's destruction, there's darkness, and there's death. But on the inside of that ark, there's liberty, there's light, and there's life. You know why? Because Noah is submitting himself to the will of God for his life in that storm. The waters piloted him. They preserved him. But I love this. The waters presented him. Genesis chapter 8, verse 1. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth. And the waters were assuaged. In other words, when the storm was over, Noah felt the wind blowing again. And the fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped and the rain from heaven was restrained and the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of 150 days, the waters were abated. Watch this now, verse number 4. And the ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat. Now 7 in your Bible is the number of completion. 17 is the number of victory. So out on the other side of the storm, Noah was enjoying complete victory. And can I say this? On the other side of this thing, this storm we call life, we will have complete victory because we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Got Him to the other side. But here's what I really enjoyed studying. The word Ararat. It's a mountain. Now, I've heard preachers preach all my life, and I guess if you used to study the word more deeply, that you could find this definition. But I've heard preachers preach all my life that the word Ararat means resurrection ground. And the reason they teach that is because that's where the new life began. I could agree with that. But I looked up the word Ararat in my Strong's Concordance this week. You know what the word Ararat actually means? The curse reversed. Now I'm seeing about 10 different things right here and I'm trying to pick which one I want to run. The curse reversed. Let me just give you two or three of them. First of all, the waters were a curse to all those who were connected to this world. But God reversed that curse for His people. And what was meant for evil, God turned around and made it work for good. Romans 8:28, and God is able to make all, the Bible said, we know that all things work together for good, and then the love of God to them who are the called according to His purpose. God turned that around. God reversed the curse. And when everybody looks at it and says, my goodness, what a tragedy. All those people died. God's people look at it and say, my goodness, what a miracle. God's people come out on the other side safe and sound. And how many of us, we can look at times in our life when the world will look and say, my goodness, what an awful tragedy. What an awful situation. But we stand back and say, God reversed the curse. And what the devil meant for evil, God turned around and meant it for good. God is able to reverse the curse. What we thought would be our greatest tragedy was our greatest triumph. What we thought was our worst nightmare was a sweet dream come true, because God is able to make all grace abound towards you. And when the storm was over, God's people were standing on higher ground than they'd ever been before. And the sun was shining and the rainbow was a shining in the sky. And Noah got so full of God, he said, let's build an altar and let's go ahead and thank God and give God glory, because we shouldn't have made it through the storm. But God allowed us to be elevated above the earth. He got us above this whole world, and now we're on higher ground. Ararat was higher ground. It was solid ground. It was a rock. So God let Noah go through all that just to get him to the rock. You know what? God might let you go through some things in this life just to get you to the rock. David said, when my heart is overwhelmed within me, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. But then that curse reverse has a prophetic message to us. Because one day when everything's over and the battle's over and God's people are on the other side on the sunny banks of sweet deliverance, the Bible said the curse is going to be lifted. There's a curse on this earth. There's a curse on man. But when the king sits on the throne, the curse will be lifted. And the lamb and the wolf will lay down together. And there'll be no more curse. And there'll be no more sin. God will reverse the curse. I don't know about you this morning, but I'm glad that God can take those things that look like tragedies and make them a triumph in our life. God can take those things that look like it's going to kill me, it's going to take me down, it's piling up. Yeah, it's piling up because now you're closer to God than you was when all this started. May I give this word of admonition this morning in closing? Don't resist what God's doing in your life. I didn't say it'd always be easy. I didn't say it wouldn't hurt. I didn't say there wouldn't be times that you wouldn't wet your pillow with tears at night. God said He would be there. God said He would be faithful. And I promise this morning, we could take testimonies from people in this building today. God's never forsaken you. God's never left you. Miss Patty, aren't you glad God reversed the curse? Brother Kenny, God reversed the curse. Brother Mike, God reversed the curse. God knows how to do that. God can take those things that look horrible, look like it's going to destroy us, and reverse it for His honor and glory. I'll tell you this and I'm done. Grace is going to come to the piano. You know, we wouldn't know about Noah in the Bible had it not been for this storm. Wouldn't know anything about Noah if it hadn't been for that storm. And God gave him, the Bible said in the book of Psalms, He's going to put the righteous an everlasting remembrance. Old Noah stayed with God, and because he stayed faithful through the storm, God brought him out on the other side. And the sun was shining brighter, and the birds were singing sweeter. And Noah stepped out and felt the wind begin to blow again, and he was on higher ground. Don't fight that storm this morning. God might be trying to get you on higher ground. Let's stand together, heads bowed, eyes closed. I've tried to preach what the Lord put on my heart today. I appreciate your attention. Heads bowed, eyes closed.